This is Jay Sekulow. Hearings at the United States House of Representatives on Iran and more from the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
With all due respect to the chairman, if he has an interest in a hearing about false narratives as it relates to the Iran deal, then I've got some suggestions for people that they should swear in.
The deal that had been spun up and sold to the American people, I'm not sure was as clear as it should have been. And I have serious questions about the transparency, the truthfulness, and when it really ultimately started. We wanted to get the person who was right in the thick of things from the White House to come here and testify. The White House on Thursday claimed that this wasn't about executive privilege. And then less than 24 hours before this hearing, they reversed course and said, oh, it is about executive privilege. Now, who's being inconsistent?
With respect to Ben Rhodes, I'm struggling to understand the allegations against him. If I understand it correctly, Republicans accuse him of misleading the American people by claiming that nothing happened with Iran before 2013. Of course, this is absurd.
There have been reports that the Obama administration, or members of it, have conducted direct, secret, bilateral talks with Iran. Is that true or false?
With regard to the kind of thing that you're talking about on a government-to-government level, no.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The nation's highest court has decided not to decide in another controversial challenge to Obamacare.
The court was also clear on two other points today. First, that it expresses, quote, no view on the merits of the cases. And second, that as this dispute continues to play out, the government cannot impose any taxes or penalties on these religious groups. The Little Sisters of the Poor Order is facing up to $70 million a year in fines if it ultimately loses this legal fight.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we wanted hearings on the situation with Iran. We've been talking about it for the last 3 or 4 days, and those hearings took place today. Absent from the hearings was the national security spokesperson, Ben Rhodes. You heard in the open of the broadcast that there was, in fact, concern that Ben Rhodes would not show up. The White House said it had nothing to do with what is called executive privilege, but then they asserted executive privilege 48 hours later. Of course, he didn't use executive privilege when he sat down and talked with the New York Times with this in-depth interview, but he's going to give executive privilege when he goes before the United States Congress, and he doesn't attend. So that hearing on Iran is going on right now. Their whole narrative that the government put forward about the moderates coming into power, and that's when they started the negotiation, has now all been proven to be false. Ben Rhodes gives the interview to the New York Times, but does not speak before the Congress. This creates concern. Than, you're in Washington right now. I know you were in meetings yesterday discussing this. What's the latest on the hearings?
Well, the fascinating thing here, Jay, is the White House said that the reason they weren't going to send Ben Rhodes is because that the Republicans who were doing things that they didn't like were not invited to testify. And Josh Earnest said that they should invite Senator Cotton to testify alongside Ben Rhodes. So Chairman Chaffetz did that. He issued an invitation to Senator Cotton. Senator Cotton accepted the invitation, Jay. He was all set to come today until Ben Rhodes declined that invitation. So here's the bottom line. The White House doesn't want this full story to be told. These hearings today are a start, but they're going to continue. They're going to continue all the way through sanctions. Yep. This is just step one in that process.
Jordan, this is step one, but this is an important step. We called for those hearings. They've taken place. Well, we knew, obviously, this would happen. Not shocking that Ben Rhodes isn't there, but it does show you that we're the beginning of another cover-up.
No, and it's exactly what the kind of information people want to get, which is, did the administration really work on this deal and basically have this deal totally written up and finished while the Ahmadinejad government was still in power in Iran? So pre-2012, when you had the quote-unquote moderate president elected in Iran. And what we're hearing, at least from Ben Rhodes, is this conflict that, in fact, this deal was put together, basically signed, sealed, and delivered pre-2012.
All right, folks, we're going to talk about it. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think it is that the administration's covering up? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say this. This is a big development. Israel, we are going to have a major hearing at the UN on the legitimacy of the Jewish state. 53,000 of you are going with me. And that's, by the way, in 24 hours. We want to get this up to 100,000 by the end of this week, if possible. Go to ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Sign that petition to stand with Israel. I'm going to take those petitions to the UN, his ambassador from Israel, to the United Nations, and let him know we're standing with him. Back with more in a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Obviously, we're talking about Iran. Big election news tonight, too. We'll be following that up. We're joined right now by a good friend of ours, Congressman Randy Forbes from Virginia. He's a good friend. We've worked on a lot of projects together. He's also chairman on the Subcommittee on Sea Power and Projection Forces. This is important because as we're talking about the hearing that's going on right now in Iran, Congressman Forbes has got information, much of which obviously the classified information he can't give us on. We're not going to even ask, of course. But remember when those U.S. Navy soldiers, our Navy seamen, were taken by Iran? And the administration really downplayed this. Congressman Forbes, you've been in meetings on this. This is obviously something we've been very concerned about, the way our soldiers were treated, really humiliated by the Islamic Republic of Iran. What is the latest?
Well, Jay, we obviously most of this is classified right now. It'll be released, but it could be months before it's released. The big concern I think most Americans are going to have is they're really going to be appalled when they see not just how Iran acted in this, but our responses and what we did. And it is a very, very concerning revelation when you begin to see this unfold. And you give it on a backdrop, Jay. Remember, Iran in this particular situation did live missile firing, testing near our ships within 1,500 yards of our ships. They flew planes over our ships. We did nothing. They capture our sailors, violating international law and maritime law. And, you know, when you see how they treated them and you see the lack of response that we had, you're just going to kind of be appalled. But then what happens is with an administration that's letting the Russians buzz our ships, Hong Kong, the Chinese just tell us we can't come in their ports, and then every single time they do nothing. In the situation with the sailors, it's even worse because, as you know, Secretary Kerry actually thanked them.
Oh, yeah. Let me actually play this for our audience. This is Secretary Kerry thanking the Iranians. This is on January 13th of this year. Take a listen.
I also want to thank the Iranian authorities for their cooperation and quick response. All indications suggest or tell us that our sailors were well taken care of, provided with blankets and food, and assisted with their return to the fleet earlier today.
The fact of the matter is, and we know this, they were humiliated, which violated, by the way, international law. But, Congressman, you make the point that basically you had John Kerry now basically thanking them.
Thanking them, Jay, but I will tell you, when this comes out, I can assure you, you would not be thanking them. Most of the American people would not be thanking them. Mm. And, Jay, this is on a backdrop, too, of what this administration has been doing to our military, and part of that will be what will come out in this briefing is as well when it's ultimately released. But you know, when the president came into office, right before he came into office in 2007, our Navy could meet 90% of our combatant commanders' needs across the globe. This year, we'll meet 43%.
So a drop of 33%.
You're almost 40%.
Yep.
Our carrier strike groups only get 56% of their needs met. Mm. Amphibious groups, 54%. Cruisers and destroyers, 39%. Attack submarines, 42%. Mm. But then remember, Jay, this president tried to take out 1/12. He was going to deactivate 1/12 of our entire fleet this year, and Congress had to stop him. That's the backdrop that I think when most Americans begin to see all this, they're going to say, oh, my gosh, what's happened in the last 8 years?
Well, I mean, the reality is, and, of course, you serve a district that I lived in for a long time, and that was, of course, in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, which is a huge naval presence. But you're right. It's been devastating what our Navy has gone through and other branches of government as well. And this is just part and parcel. And then you see those soldiers captured. You see the Iranians laughing at us. They're calling for they mocking the Holocaust. And this is the group we just cut a deal with. I want to take a phone call if we can, Congressman, because this is a question that's on a lot of people's mind. And let's go ahead and take that call, Logan.
Yep, let's go ahead. Phyllis is calling. Online too. Phyllis is calling in Scotts Valley, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi. My question is, I know Trump, when he takes office, God willing, is ready and willing to undo executive orders of Obama.
Yep.
Is there any possibility of him being able to get us out of this ridiculous deal with Iran?
So this is the question, Phyllis, and I'm glad we have Congressman Forbes here, because this is a question we're getting a lot, Congressman. That is, in a post-Barack Obama presidency, what can be done with regard to this deal? Now, a lot of it, the cat's kind of out of the bag already, but what can be done?
Well, Jay, there's a lot of things that can be done. Obviously, the assets that they're releasing, those assets will be gone. You won't ever get those back in. One of the things that we hope we'll have done this year, but if we don't, we would certainly be able to do it under a new administration, is put in another Iran sanctions bill, because this
right.
one expires this year. That's vitally important to do. The second thing that would be huge for us to do is to begin rebuilding our military, because it's this weakness that's creating a vacuum that's causing Iran to get stronger and stronger. And remember, every time they do this, what this administration has done around the globe is to bow down to bullies or try to ignore bullies. They never go away. They just start bullying more. And the response for Iran through all of this has been to now say the United States needs to get out of the entire Arabian Gulf, or they're going to close down the Strait of Hormuz. So a new president would be able to turn that course around in a pretty significant way.
You know, it's interesting, Congressman, we're monitoring news sites in our radio studios, as you know, and one of them just was showing those pictures of those Navy soldiers, our Navy seamen, being captured by the Iranians. Jordan, you've got a question for the congressman.
That's right, Congressman Forbes. Is this a kind of an outgrowth of just what happens when you make a deal with an Iranian government and the way we know that it operates with the Revolutionary Guard? I mean, we just saw there's another report where you've got a Revolutionary Guard commander saying that the Obama administration, the United States, was telling them, don't conduct your missile tests in public. Is this what happens when you make a deal with a government that really can't be trusted?
Jordan, I think the worry for a lot of people is whether or not we can trust our government to give us all the facts before they make these deals. And we know going in you can't trust the Iranians. And actually, you almost can trust the Iranians, because they are telling us they want to destroy Israel and they want to destroy us. You know. And so what is just insane to most people is that we would still go through and release all these assets to them, because, Jordan, remember, the amount of these assets is about 10 times the annual defense budget for Iran. So it's like us paying for 10 years of their defense budget and squeezing it into 1 year to give them this almost steroid to help build up their military boldness, and that's what's happened.
You know, it was interesting. Just yesterday, Congressman, the Islamic Republic of Iran again released a statement condemning Israel, saying that they are pleased with the intensification of global opposition to the Israeli regime. They call the international action for putting an end to the conspiracies of Israel. They deny the Holocaust. They're making fun of the Holocaust. I'm actually heading up a big event at the United Nations in cooperation with the World Jewish Congress and with the Israeli ambassador, the UN, the Israeli mission to the United Nations, the ambassador from Israel to the United Nations on this delegitimization of Israel. You mentioned Israel just then. Iran is one of the prime sponsors of the hatred and animosity towards Israel, and yet we're acting as if we're on the verge of normative relationships with them.
And, Jay, you know, one of the things that history tells us, and you just can't find a situation in history that's different than this, whenever you get countries who act like this, in this bullying kind of capacity, this threat kind of, you never change that by giving in to them or by buying them off. The only thing they understand is at least a standing up to make sure we have a presence there. And the signals that this administration has given both to our allies and to our opponents has created a world that really is very, very concerning for anybody that studies it right now.
You know, it's interesting. Famed British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli said, and it's very apropos for today, that what they understand in this region of the world, unfortunately, but it's true, is force. You can't settle these disputes, he says, by arbitration. The president doesn't agree with that and basically entered into an arbitration, except I don't see what the United States got for this. But, Congressman, we're glad you're in Congress. We're glad you're fighting for us. Thanks for being with us and appreciate your comments. Look forward to hearing in the weeks ahead what this actually says. I'm sure it's going to get everybody a little bit more anxious on this whole situation with Iran, but thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Congressman Randy Forbes. Breaking news there, too, folks. He said what's going to come out on the Iran capture is going to be huge.
Yeah, that's right. And that did spark some people online to talk about, very curious of what that could possibly be. But he definitely seemed
We're going to speculate on that afterwards.
He seemed very confident in the fact that whatever was going to come out, we will not be pleased with.
I think that our soldiers, and I'll get Jordan fans' comments on this quickly, I think our soldiers were probably forced to make statements on video cameras, which is a violation of the law, by the way. He says it will shock the nation. I'm sure there's more to it than that, Jordan. There was probably some serious, serious situation developed there.
Yeah, and Congressman Forbes is a very reliable source on this because, as you pointed out, it's not just a congressman on one of the committees, the Naval Committee, but also represents many of our servicemen and women, our sailors
there.
In the U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
And so because of that, he's got even a more specialty. So if he's using words like it will shock the nation when we find out the truth about exactly what happened and the thank yous from our Secretary of State, you have to believe him and know that it's again... This news should come out sooner rather than later because it directly relates to the next presidential election coming up in November because Hillary Clinton supports this nuclear deal. And it looks like what we're now hearing is that a lot of this was put together while she was still Secretary of State.
Folks, how do you think the situation with Iran should play out in the next election for the president of the United States? We want your comments, your concerns, your calls. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. You heard it from Randy Forbes, the congressman. Will shock the nation. What do you think it is? We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Can you trust the next administration to handle this? We'll take your calls when we come back from the break.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
So the White House says, Ben Rhodes, you can do an interview with the New York Times. You could talk to the Washington Post. You could do all these interviews. But let me tell you what we're not going to allow you to do. Talk to the United States Congress, who has jurisdiction over this, as there's a hearing right now on the situation in Iran. And we're not going to let you testify because we're not claiming executive privilege. Oh, we are claiming executive privilege because the whole narrative of the Obama White House on the situation with Iran was false. And now it's being called out as exactly that. And then you've got this whole issue of executive privilege. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We already got comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope. But, folks, I'm asking you this question. Are we going to stand with Israel or are we going to stand with the Iranians here? And what is it that the Iranians did? What could it be that Randy Forbes said will shock us? I'm going to give you some of our view on that in this segment of the broadcast, but we want to hear from you as well, 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. A lot of comments in are coming in on Facebook. This is from Wilma, who said the next president should immediately stop funding any terrorist regime. Also, some people maybe should be criminally charged for their cover-up. This also comes in from Joseph, who says we need to reverse the Iran deal immediately. Jackie says, I'm glad this is all coming to light. So a lot of people who are voicing their opinions and their concerns right now. As phone lines are lining up right now, we have one line open, 1-800-684-3110. And as we be able to screen through them, we'll be able to get some calls on the air.
Let me play this for everybody, and then I'm going to get Jordan and Than to comment. Than's in our Office of Governmental Affairs. Jordan has worked with the Department of Justice as well. I mean, this is folks, Than's worked for presidential campaigns. Than served on Capitol Hill. Let me tell you something. I've worked with two government agencies in my career, Treasury and Justice, and I will tell you, something's not right. Ben Rhodes gives an interview in depth to the New York Times, a puff piece. Well, ends up not being quite a puff piece. By the way, Fox News right now, all they're playing is these soldiers being taken in Iran. Why? Because what Randy Forbes said, it will shock us what happened. But here's what Jason Chaffetz and Representative Trey Gowdy had to say about the executive privilege being asserted today by the administration.
Does the executive privilege apply to media interviews or only to appearances before Congress?
I don't know the full answer to that, but I believe they're free to talk to whoever they want to in the media. But they did claim in Mr. Eggleston's letter to claim executive privilege.
So is that a yes or a no? Does it apply when you're being interviewed by the New York Times or ABC or CBS or just when members of Congress want to ask questions?
Evidently when members of Congress.
I thank the chairman for that clarification.
I mean, you realize what's happening here, folks. They go to the New York Times, they give in-depth interviews, they will not talk to Congress. And Than, this is serious.
It's very serious. Listen, the answer to that question is it applies only when the White House decides it applies, and it's plain and simple. Let me underscore something that Jordan said very quickly, because I don't want our listeners to miss this. Think about the timing of the original lie from Victoria Nuland. It happened on February 6, 2013. Jay, that was 5 days after Secretary Kerry took over for Secretary Clinton. Here's why that's important. Both secretaries would have been read into those negotiations that took place with Ahmadinejad. Neither one of them stood up and corrected the record. They both let it stand.
Of course.
Both of them should be held to account for this as well.
And this is whether it's the IRS or whether it's the Department of State or whether it's the FBI or the Department of Justice. This seems to be the new norm. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, Mike's calling from Troy, Ohio, on line one. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Hey, great job you guys doing all this.
We're trying to lay the case out, and I think it's been effective, and I'm glad to know that Congress is taking, as we asked for these hearings, and they laid out the case very similar to we did. So we lay out the case for you here. That's what we do on the broadcast. Don't just talk about it. Lay out the case, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a comment.
Yep.
It's such a standard thing with the Democrats that they never seem to take accountability for their actions, and
Well, right, but here's what you've got, Mike. There is something else. I mean, Randy Forbes said it. He didn't give us what it is, but it's something that will shock us. And the reality is, that's why this administration, Jordan, is playing this cover up.
Yeah, everything they can do just to finish out their term in office, basically, and then try and have the next president of the United States, if it is Hillary Clinton, someone inclined to keep this deal moving forward with Iran, to kind of be able to shoulder this, but also say, listen, this happened under a different president. Though I agree with the bigger term, there may have been issues here. The thing is, though, that makes it difficult with this timeline is that she was around. Yep. And so I think that's playing into this as well, is that you have the leading Democrat candidate for president of the United States, who now we find out was likely, as Stan was pointing out, likely serving her final months as Secretary of State while this deal was being finalized.
It's unbelievable. Let's go ahead and take another phone call. I want to read something in a moment here. But this is, folks, we're laying this case out for you here. You got to, you are understanding what's going on.
All right, Dario is calling from Houston. You're on the air.
Hey, Dario.
Hey, good morning there, Jay. I appreciate everything that you guys do.
Thanks.
For our country. You guys are great Americans.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to summarize this whole Obama administration, how much of a total sham it has been. And it's appalling. I just want to basically
you have the right to be appalled, because let me explain something to you here. I'm going to explain this later on. So executive privilege exists. So everybody understands. Ben Rhodes, National Security Advisor, goes to the New York Times, does this in-depth interview, disclosing a lot of information, including how he basically misled the press as part of this. Then our friend James Rosen uncovers video that he had from interviews that he did where the State Department lied about when they started negotiations with Iran, saying it was under the current regime, more moderate, so to speak, not under the when it was Ahmadinejad. Well, that was all false. So the narrative was completely false. They covered up. They removed the video. They edit, Logan, the video out. Again, let's remind everybody what they did. Then I'm going to read you why they were not letting Ben Rhodes testify. But they not only changed the story, they edited the video.
That's right. The video was edited clearly with a white flash edit, something that everyone is kind of used to seeing on news packages and pieces. But it's not a glitch. It's not an error. It is a specific edit. They went in, they chopped out that piece using, I'm sure, some sort of editing software. And you can do that sort of white flash edit on pretty much anything, including your phone. It's very easy, very simple, but it has to be done deliberately. It can't be done on accident.
All right, so here's what the White House says. It would threaten the independence and autonomy of the president, as well as his ability to receive candid advice and counsel from Ben Rhodes, so Mr. Rhodes will not be available to testify. But he could testify, to the New York Times. You find that acceptable? I don't. We're taking your phone calls on this when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about the Supreme Court case yesterday. Father Frank Provone from Priest for Life will be with us. More on the Iran situation and your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And there's a lot of ways for you to get the next. If you're only hearing 30 minutes of this broadcast, now a lot of stations are getting the full hour now, but if you're only getting 30 minutes, there's way for you to expand.
That's right. You can join us on Facebook and Periscope. Facebook.com/JaySekulow or Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. We're broadcasting live there right now during the breaks. Facebook, we may be temporarily going down, relaunching for the second half hour to reignite the audience and for you guys to see a brand new feed. So check out Facebook in just a moment. We'll be on there. Also Periscope, the ACLJ apps, the show's archived on. That's on Apple TV, Roku, and on iPhone devices, as well as anywhere, I think, iOS devices in general. And the Jay Sekulow Live podcast you can get on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have more on the situation. It is heating up in Washington, D.C. New concerns about how Iran treated captured U.S. soldiers. You heard from Congressman Randy Forbes. It will shock us. We'll take your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the repercussions of that should be? Again, 800-684-3110. Also, sign our petition to defend Israel. I'm going to be there in a little less than 2 weeks. In the United Nations, presenting a major issue to the UN on behalf of Israel. You can go with us by signing this petition at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. But everybody that's listening to us right now, if you want to talk to us on this topic of Iran, this is the time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. We'll also be talking about the new decision from the Supreme Court on the Little Sisters of the Poor and Priests for Life. Back with more in a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. If you are just joining us, let me say this. We just had Congressman Randy Forbes on. He said how the administration handled the capture of those U.S. sailors by the Iranians. When that information is released, it will be shocking. There is a hearing, and we asked for this, and we got it, a hearing before the House of Representatives right now. Ben Rhodes refuses to come. The administration claims executive privilege, but they don't claim executive privilege when it came to giving the interview with the New York Times that started this entire mess. I want to go to Than first, then Jordan quickly. Than, reaction on Capitol Hill. I know it is very, very aggressive right now, and people think that there is a cover-up of huge proportions, and the Secretary of State may well be in the middle of it.
Well, the reason for that, Jay, is the fact that the topic of today's hearing is about an interview that Ben Rhodes already sat for. He didn't sit for it with a local paper. He sat for it with the New York Times. He has already addressed the issues that Congress wants to ask him about. So he can't claim executive privilege. This is something that is already out there, and they want an accounting for. Him not showing up today and claiming executive privilege is something like we've seen before. It's talking about an issue like Lois Lerner did and then claiming the Fifth or pleading executive privilege after the fact. Congress isn't going to stand for this, Jay.
Yeah, let me play you what James Rosen asked the question the other day. Here's what he said.
I take it from your comments in saying that you're reviewing the letter from Congressman Chaffetz that the White House is not reflexively asserting an executive privilege claim with respect to this request.
That's correct. This has nothing to do with executive privilege.
Yeah, and 5 days later, it has everything to do with executive privilege. So the fact of the matter is, Jordan, again, the White House has been caught. They lied about Iran. They probably have lied about the contents. There's going to be breaking big news on what happened to our sailors. This is a governmental cover-up, again, by the administration.
Yeah, and what they're trying to do is slow walk this as long as possible to finish out the Obama presidency, even with this kind of fog that could exist throughout this the final months of the Obama presidency. They want to downplay this as much as possible, and they are willing to take some of these hits by Congress, by not showing up, and again, putting it on the staff, who probably did talk too much to the New York Times.
No doubt.
And brought this on themselves to an extent. But also, we know that ultimately, this is an issue that will have to be resolved in the future. That the Obama White House is not going to do a lot to fix this. But it will be up to the next president of the United States and the next Congress. As Congressman Forbes said, you know, with the power to sanction is a significant power. And that needs to start moving. It already is moving. Yep. And I think this will be just another catalyst for that expansion.
You're absolutely correct, and I think that's going to be the ramifications of all this. Let's take another call here before the break or a comment.
Yep, let's go to Brian calling in New York. Quickly, Brian.
Hey, Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, good.
So I'm listening to the radio station. I'm hearing about executive
privilege.
Executive action or executive privilege, okay.
Yep.
But they didn't use it, obviously, when they wanted to talk to the media.
Correct.
It looks like it was only enacted when it came time to really, you know, hold up to their own and take accountability,
correct.
Right? Right. What I want to know is, what can anybody do to stop this? It's like an ongoing trend. There's always corrupt. There's always cover-up. And I feel like everybody talks about it, but nobody can really do anything about
Brian,
it.
Let me tell you what we do, because we don't just talk about it here. So when the IRS started their cover-up of the targeting of conservative organizations, we went to federal court. And we ended up getting our clients their exemptions, and we're still in federal court fighting the IRS now, so we take them to court. When the president did the executive action on immigration, changing the immigration laws of the United States, we went to court, filing briefs in those cases. In this situation, we called for hearings. Those hearings have taken place. Congressman Forbes said what's going to come out on Iran is going to be breathtaking. It is going to be a very serious concern to the American people. And you take action. So this is where, Than, very quickly here, Congress comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the recommendations out of this hearing, Jay, is going to be that actual penalties apply to people that violate these assertions of executive privilege. I think that needs to take place going forward. It needs to serve as a notice to future national security advisors.
We are not just talking about it, folks. We lay the case out for you, but we take action. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to pivot for a segment to the pro-life issue. Father Frank Provone will be joining us on the case involving Priests for Life yesterday at the Supreme Court of the United States. We filed briefs on all of those. Interesting decision there. Then we'll talk more on Iran in the last segment. Our phone number is 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget to sign up at aclj.org for our email newsletters, our alerts. But also, you should be getting signing that committee for Israel. Sign that today.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, yesterday we broke the news that the Supreme Court of the United States sent back the series of cases involving the real issue of trying to get these nonprofit groups like Priests for Life, our friend Father Frank Provone, the Little Sisters of the Poor, and others, to have these birth control, as they call them, or abortifacients, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But the idea that you compel the government to do this, the government compelling these private religious organizations to do this, is ridiculous. Now, the case has gone back. I actually think it's a good sign here. I consider this a win. But let's talk to the client, Frank Provone. And we filed brief on behalf of Father Frank. I've known Father Frank for about decades now. We've been good friends for a long time. Father Frank, give us your assessment. You're one of the petitioners in the case. Your reaction to the Supreme Court's order yesterday?
Okay. Well, Jay, it's good to talk to you again.
You too.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And I agree with your assessment completely that this is a very positive development. We considered, first of all, the oral arguments to be fairly positive when we listened to them on March 23rd. We considered it positive when the court asked, is there a way that you guys can agree to make this work, you guys, namely the petitioners and the government? And when those briefs were filed and we saw what the government said and we all saw the agreement that existed among us as petitioners, we were, again, very encouraged. And that led us to think that, you know, we're going to win this case eventually because, as you well know, what's at issue here is, you know, is the government really using the least restrictive means to accomplish
right.
its end, the least burdensome on our religious freedom? And the very fact that the court asked us, is there another way to do this? And we've always been saying
sure.
that there is. And the fact now that the Supreme Court is saying basically to the government and to the lower courts and to us, hey, guys, work this out because there does seem to be a better way, is in the end a victory, as you said.
Yeah, it's a victory. I'll tell you why. Someone's litigated cases to the Supreme Court for a quarter of a century. I'll tell you why it's a victory. Number one, fines, penalties, gone. Lower court opinions against our position, gone, vacated.
Gone.
So you got to put that in context. So it's a big thing. All those lower court opinions that ruled against the nonprofit, the religious groups, are gone. The penalties,
right.
fines, gone. And the court said, basically, hey, there's a least restrictive means, which is not where the government wanted this to go. So this is a loss for the United States Department of Justice and for the president, who was trying to compel Father Frank to have his organization do things that violate their conscience. So this was in my sense, it was a big win. It was a bit of a political win in the sense of the way they've handled it. But they've done that before. They've sent the cases back down and say, get this resolved. So, Father Frank, here's the next question that everybody wants to know. What is the next step here?
Well, you know, I was talking, of course, to our attorney, Robert Muse, yesterday about this. And, you know, he was saying, look, you know, does this mean that there are going to be oral arguments again in the lower courts. He says not necessarily, so maybe there'll be some kind of mediation. But what most fascinates me is, and I asked him this question, and it's still a question, is what if the, you know, now we're dealing with four courts of appeals.
Right.
These seven cases that were consolidated, as you know, arose from four different courts. Now, we, Priests for Life, are in the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. So interestingly enough, we're there with Merrick Garland
right.
over there as the chief judge. But the bottom line is, you know, I said to Rob, I said, well, now, what if these courts come down in different ways?
Right.
You know, we already have a circuit conflict with the circuit split with the Eighth Circuit.
Yeah, so let me explain to everybody what this means. So in other words, it goes back to the lower courts, but let's say three of the courts get it right and one of the courts gets it wrong. Does it go back up to the Supreme Court?
And I guess ultimately it could, theoretically, it could. But what we're hoping for is this. Of course, I think very much now, Jay, I don't know what your assessment is. I think very much now the ball is in the government's hands.
Absolutely.
To say, hey, look, okay, we hear what's being said here, so we're going to modify this mandate. We're going to modify this, quote, accommodation. And we are, in fact, going to arrange between the government and the insurance companies. We're going to arrange a way that Priests for Life, Little Sisters, and all you other petitioners, that it doesn't involve you at all.
I think
that, of course, is the bottom line.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. I think that's where this goes at the end of the day. But, Jordan, the issue, of course, is that the government was still pushing this forward even after that oral argument when they could have, I mean, they could have stopped it before it got there. They gave accommodations to labor unions, but they don't want to give accommodations to the Little Sisters of the Poor and Priests for Life.
Now they have to, and they've been mandated by the Supreme Court to work this out at the lower court level. And ultimately, they will have to change their policy moving forward. They're trying to spin it all so as not a complete loss. And you know, at the end of the day, it's really not about that. It's about if they come back with real accommodation that, as Father Frank said, does not violate the least restrictive means test and the most burdensome ways of going about it, which this one, when you looked at, it was like they were doing everything possible to really upset these groups and upset their religious liberty and force them to take an active rather than a passive role in this process. And so that is why the courts were not satisfied with what the Obama administration came back with and said, no, you're going to have to figure this out.
Father Frank, let me ask you one last question. This kind of highlights the situation. We played a video for our Facebook and Periscope audience right before we went on the air back on the segment where we talk about what if Justice Scalia was still on the bench. I mean, this points out how important the next Supreme Court nominee is.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we had on the day of the oral arguments, we, of course, I was inside, but the rest of our team was outside having a rally. And when I came back out and I shared what I had heard inside, I said, you know, I said, we feel the absence of Justice Scalia. I said, he was not able to be advocating for us inside the court today, but he's advocating for us in the courts of heaven.
Yep.
And that's what leads us, of course, to the topic of prayer that we have had all along, and we continue to have a prayer campaign for the right outcome of this and the total reversal of the HHS mandate. And if our listeners want to join us in an interdenominational way of praying, SupremeCourtVictory.com is where we've got a bunch of prayers that can be used for this purpose. But yes, we feel the loss of Scalia. And, of course, obviously, that also reminds us how much of an election issue this is.
Oh, huge.
And we're going to see to it at Priests for Life that as we continue talking about this case and as it does take these next steps, that we keep reminding the voters, you know, none of this needed to happen in the first place. If we had the right person in the White House and therefore the right people at HHS, that wouldn't have thrown this objectionable stuff into that mandate. Anyway.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, you have an interesting comment you put in the chat there, Than, but I think it's worth repeating for our audience so that they hear it. And this is true. Understand what the administration was doing here. Go ahead, Than.
Well, I think Father Frank laid it out. This litigation, Jay, revealed the true intent of the Obama administration. They said that they were after universal contraceptive coverage. The Supreme Court clearly said this week that that was obviously not the case because they had other mechanisms to accomplish that.
Right.
What they were trying to do was break the back of people who had religious objections to this. And I would argue, Jay, they were trying to do it not just for this issue, but for a number of issues down the road. So that's the other benefit of this ruling. It's a big win for religious freedom on any number of issues going forward.
Any way the Department of Justice wants to spin it, here's what it is, folks. As someone that's litigated cases at the Supreme Court for a quarter of a century, they lost. And this was a win for the Priest for Life and for the Little Sisters of the Poor and for all of us concerned with religious liberty. I'm thrilled that we were able to file briefs in the case. Father Frank, thanks for being with us. Congratulations on the win. We'll keep praying for you. And, of course, as we say, upcoming election could be big for the Supreme Court. Thanks a lot, Father Frank.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yep. Father Frank Provone. Been friends with Father Frank for a long time. Logan, let's go ahead and go right back to this discussion on Iran. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We may have conversations on other topics, too. We'll take them. 800-684-3110.
All right. Let's go to Wolf, who's calling in Wisconsin on line three.
Hi, Wolf.
Yes.
I'm a born-again Christian,
and I'm also a Democrat. Okay. And I believe that both Democrats and Republicans should support Israel, and it should be hands down that Israel should be supported by the United States.
Let me tell you what's going on right now. I appreciate you calling in. And it used to be that was the case, that this was not a Republican-Democrat issue, that people understood from both parties that Israel was our ally in the region, a loyal ally, and somebody that kept stability in the region. That's not the case anymore right now. And here's what we've got. We're going to be at the United Nations in less than 2 weeks for a major event on this issue of the boycott, divestiture, and sanctioning of the state of Israel, the delegitimizing of the Jewish state. And I've been asked by the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations to lead up a legal charge on this, and we're doing that. We're putting the case together, so to speak. It's going to be a big program at the UN, be others involved as well. But we want you to go with us. You can actually go with us to the UN. We've got a petition that's up, and I'd like to get it over 100,000 signatures by the event, and ultimately over 200,000 as this issue moves forward. You could go with me to the UN without being there by signing on to this petition at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. I'm going to encourage you to do that right now. Again, aclj.org as we take a stand for Israel. Logan, you want to grab another call before the break, or do you think we hold them and do a rapid fire
round? We'll do a rapid fire round because we only got a minute left. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to have your voice heard on the air today. Lots of comments also coming in on Facebook and Periscope. We'll get to those. Someone just quickly said, you can answer, does this case affect the Hobby Lobby case at all?
Nope. It's a separate issue from Hobby Lobby, but again, it's in that line of precedent. It's a very good outcome. I think it'll even be better as, listen, got rid of the lower court cases, got rid of the penalties. That's a good thing.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard on the air today.
Jordan, quickly, tonight's a big night on the election. Tell everybody what's coming up tonight.
Yeah, we've got Kentucky and Oregon on the Democrat side, Oregon on the Republican side. A lot of attention will be on Kentucky, though we believe that Bernie Sanders probably is the likely victor in Oregon. Does Hillary Clinton hold on to Kentucky or not? Does she continue to face these? What it does is weaken her for the future. That's what we'll be focusing on.
All right, folks, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. Rapid fire round. You can talk to us about anything. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. Tomorrow we're going to analyze the political fallout from the primaries and also the Donald Trump interview. Again, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, sign that petition supporting Israel at aclj.org. Back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition. petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Guess everyone's rapid fire round. You take that load from you and put it right on us. Ask us a question on anything you want to talk about. That's what we do the last time of the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you get on this round, we're going to send you a signed copy of our book, Undemocratic, the expanded edition, signed by me. So again, if you want, but you got to ask a question. 1-800-684-3110 or make a comment. All right, let's go right back to the phones.
All right, Vito's calling from Chicago on line two.
Hey, Chicago. All right, Vito, go ahead.
Hello, Jay. It's my pleasure. I'm thankful for you picking up the call. I'm
Thanks.
A longtime supporter.
Great.
And I just want to encourage all the people out there to continue to support you.
Thank you.
Simply because I know you are fighting for our rights. And, Jay, my question to you is this. Do you honestly believe in your gut that anything is going to happen to this lawless administration? What is your true feeling? Do you think they're going to get away with everything, go off into the sunset?
No, I don't, actually, because I have to look at the history, and I look at the president stacking the National Labor Relations Board. And what happens? We go to the Supreme Court, and his stacking of the NLRB is pushed back, and they say, no, you overreached. I look at the immigration case, where you could be in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. Great. But your presidents don't get to do this on their own. They don't get to change the law. We go to court. What happens? He loses. So I think the reality is, if you push back on these things, you can't just talk about them. I mean, you know, obviously, this is, I say this often because we've got a lot of new stations with us. This is 1 hour of our day, this radio broadcast. Of course, there's a lot of prep and a lot of people prepping for hours and hours. But it's 1 hour of our day. The rest of the time, we're doing cases. I'm getting ready to work. I'm working on the UN matter right now. I'm doing a presentation at a big event in Washington, D.C. on the immigration issue on the Supreme Court next week. The week after that, the United Nations. So you push back, you fight back, and you don't just talk about it. You take action. And Vito, like others, I encourage you to go to aclj.org. Sign that petition for Israel so you could actually go with me to the UN. But that's a good way to get it done. We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab another call or comment.
Yep, Lori's calling from Salt Lake City. You're on the air.
Hi, Lori.
Good morning, Jay. Hey, I just want to say thank you for what you guys do.
Sure.
The education that you give us helps us decipher
Great.
Some of this information,
Thanks.
What's true and what's not. But my question is, as we talk about Iran capturing
yep.
that ship, I read shortly after that they had pulled the technologies and the computers
yes.
from that ship.
Correct.
And that being the case, why are we just now being outraged? Shouldn't that have made immediate action happen? Isn't that...
Yeah. It did. It took time to get hearings. Let me go to Jordan and Than on it. There's more to it than just them pulling computers. I think what you're going to find is, Laurie, that our sailors were humiliated or worse. Randy Ford was on the broadcast saying that this is going to be shocking when it comes out.
Yeah, I don't think he would use the term shock nation about the capture of the U.S. Sailors by Iranian forces in the Arabian Gulf. And this, again, goes to the whole idea surrounding the nuclear deal with Iran, the
yep.
release of so many resources to Iran, which is Congressman Forbes says that's something you're never going to get back. But you can increase sanctions, so kind of reverse that in a bit of a backwards way. And ultimately, the next Congress and the next president of the United States will have to decide how they are going to deal with Iran. I think Hillary Clinton's been
yep.
pretty clear about that. And I think what we're finding out more through this also is her involvement. That it actually goes back to towards the end of her tenure as Secretary of State, that they were
yep.
putting this deal together with the previous very radical Iranian government under Ahmadinejad.
Right.
This came in from Aaron Allen. He says, if the Iran deal is not on paper, on what legal basis is the administration able to remove sanctions?
All right, so this is Than. I want to go to Than on this because Randy Forbes said there are a series of steps we can take in the next administration to undo this. It is not on paper. There's not a written agreement. There's not an Iran deal like this. But there are actions that can be taken, including sanctions that could be reimposed. So there is action that can be put in place.
That's right, and the sanctions are pretty complex, Jay. Some of them are UN-based, some of them are U.S.-based.
And by the way, let me just interrupt for a second here. Fan, you said that in meetings yesterday that the issue of sanctions is coming up again.
That's exactly right, and Congressman Forbes actually owns some of those sanctions. He is the sponsor of them, the ones that directly relate to the capture of the American sailors. But there's going to be additional ones as well. Now, granted, he said this too. I mean, they're going to be several years down the road in the development of both nuclear weapons and the delivery mechanisms, but we're going to have to start all over on them. So to the caller's question, some of the legal authority for removing these sanctions did exist after Congress approved the so-called deal, but some of them are at the UN. And, Jay, that's why we're tying in our work at the UN. We're going to have to fight it at both places.
All right, folks, taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Taking comments as well. Logan, next.
Yep, let's move on. Let's go to Glenn in Missouri.
Hi, Glenn, quickly.
Glenn, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the air.
Oh, hello, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Glad to talk to you again.
Yes, sir.
I'm a returning caller. I was just wondering, they keep talking about this legal document that Iran signed, but they haven't signed it. They don't produce it.
The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action is not a treaty or executive agreement. It is not a signed document. That's what the State Department Assistant Secretary said. Jordan, very quickly here, it is not a treaty. It's not a document. It's an understanding, and that's part and parcel of the problem here, and that's why we don't know what's in it.
You're not going to find anything signed. It's not binding. It doesn't have the force of any kind of international law or like a normal international agreement, which means if Iran violates it, you could reimpose sanctions, but you can't reverse what you've done. And what we've done is opened up their economic markets and also provided them a lot of resources.
Absolutely. All right, Logan.
Yep, continuing on. Let's go to Philomene calling in California.
Hi, Philomene, you're on.
Yes, I'm wondering, what if Hillary is found guilty, if they do something, and she's taken out of the race? Will she be taken out? And then who will they put in
place? If she actually got indicted, which I don't see it happening, but if she did get indicted, she'd be out of the race. I mean, she couldn't run. She could, but it would be a disaster. Who do I think? I think they put in Joe Biden. I've always said that. I still think that. That's what I think would happen. So... And I don't know, is there any sense, Than, quickly here, I got to grab one more call after this. Is there any sense, Than, on Capitol Hill right now that there's a thought that she's going to actually get indicted here? I just don't see it. They haven't even interviewed her yet.
I think it's a long shot, but I would say two things. It's why Bernie Sanders is still in the race, and your guess about Joe Biden entering, I think that is an absolute certainty if it were to happen, because all of those superdelegates would be free as well. There'd be well more than enough delegates left for him to win this race.
Be careful what you wish for, too. He's a tough retail campaigner. All right, Sheila.
Yep, Sheila's calling in Texas.
Hey, you're on the air.
I would like to know, how come Congress has never stood up to Obama? He's able to do whatever he wants to do, and our congressmen and our House sit there and let him do whatever he wants to do.
Look, there's some legitimate criticism about frustration level, but it's not like Congress has done nothing. I mean, there's been, in fact, in some of these actions where we've talked about, where we've gone to court, Sheila, Congress has joined with us in the briefs. So we've seen that, Jordan, on multiple times.
Yeah, I think what you point out is going to court. That's not a quick process.
Yeah.
So when you challenge something like an assertion of executive privilege, if you ultimately want to fight that, Congress has. Those take years. I mean, it could take years in federal court to have that resolved. And courts are a little leery of getting involved when you've got a battle between Congress and the executive branch. And so sometimes they want them to resolve it on their own. But again, this Congress has been willing to fight it out.
And we've been fighting for Congress in the court, so we don't take that for granted. Let's go with the last comment here, Logan.
Yep, this is a question. Jay, you're a boss. There you go.
there you go. All right. Well, we'll see.
Someone asked, when will the band be broadcasting again?
Probably in 2 weeks. We were going to actually do something tonight, and I've got jammed up on two cases, so that takes a precedent over the band. But the band will be back. All right, folks, one of those cases I've got or issues is going to the UN. I need you to go with me. How can you do that? Go to ACLJ.org right now. Sign on to that petition. We urge you to do it. ACLJ.org. Share it with your friends as well. And that's a good way for you to help us defend Israel at the United Nations. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.